Okay, 2 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, we will continue with what's in there for us, and I got off the hook on this one because there's so much stuff in Samuel and Chronicles with David. I mean, there's just tons of stuff that goes on in there. It is absolutely, and I know that we have a church of people that read their Bible, so I don't have anything to show you new this morning necessarily. You know, but people that say that the Bible is dull or boring and they don't understand it, you know, I don't understand why they wouldn't see some of this stuff. And I just listed some things here that this section of the Bible has for people like to read, and mysteries and stuff. Treasures and gold riches. Mystery, drama, conspiracy is in there, all the details of a conspiracy, saying this king being talked about behind his back and the people that are setting up to get him and all that stuff. I don't know if that's happening here or not. I see how it could be, but it's in the Bible. I mean, the conspiracy stuff, there's action, there's danger and intrigue, there's old people involved, young people involved, royalty and all the thrones and palaces that go with it, war, blood and guts, heroes, villains, romance, good guy versus the bad guy, surprise endings, changing of plans, giants, huge numbers, because you see this stuff on movies, special effects, all these huge numbers of people. None of these are computer-oriented. This is real. 70,000 killed one place, 800,000 valiant men line up with 500,000 men from Judah. The numbers are huge. They're just unfathomable, almost. 3 days eating and drinking. Remember reading that? I mean, everything is in here. Kindness, backstabbing, God against men, the power of nature, as people would call it, the underdog being the winner. And then look at 1 Chronicles chapter 1. There's where you could turn to, I guess. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. It's just amazing things. What if a person likes to read 1 Chronicles chapter 21, this Bible has tons of stuff in it that is really quite exciting. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 15. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. When you read this Old Testament stuff, you got to just take your time and picture all this stuff. It's real. It happens. And as he was destroying, I like that, and as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Notice up in verse 14 that there's 70,000 men that were killed. 16, and David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Now, would this make a good special effects movie? None of this left behind baloney. Let's put the truth in there. They have more mystery and romance and stuff they knew what to do with if they could ever portray this stuff. But isn't that something? I mean, David saw an angel of the Lord stand, and we know who that is, by the way. That's the Lord. Stand between earth and the heaven, and a sword is out over the Jerusalem. Man, would that change your day? If you could see something like that? Didn't change theirs. I mean, eventually, I mean, it did, I guess, but look at verse 27. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again. Okay, so he put his sword away. And verse 30. Now, here's a little bit of wisdom. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. I mean, we got a book here that's the sword of the Lord, kind of the same sword of the Spirit. But there he saw him with the sword, and he was a little tense. I can understand that. I can understand that totally. So anyway, there's just all sorts of things, and this is just in Samuel, and this is just in 1 Chronicles dealing with David. So what can we get from David? Well, we'll get to that in a few minutes. I just want to show you some things that are in Samuel and Chronicles that is very important to us today. Look at Genesis chapter 1, and then turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17. Kind of keep them both open there. 2 Samuel chapter 17. going to show you something this morning that few people know. Genesis chapter 1. A lot of people think, or people tend to think, I'm against sports. You know, I'm not against sports. I'm against women being made strong, girls being fed the seed of manliness, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing like a good game of basketball or football or baseball or something in the neighborhood and all that. It's getting way too organized and very dangerous for your children, but still very enjoyable to do. But it is biblical, because baseball is mentioned in the first verse of the Bible. You know that, in the beginning. But it gets even better. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. We even know who the pitcher was. And I did a word study, believe it or not. The Bible, God lists all of his pitchers. And they pitch different places and tells the schedule and the whole deal. So I'm not against that sort of a thing. 17:26. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. So he was, you know, Absalom eventually lost his position with the team. But anyway, look at 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, happens to us all, even David. Just a little over the hill there. Was I bored this week? No, I just kept, these kept, things kept popping up, and it was just very interesting to me. Look at 2 Samuel 13. These are the things that are in here for us. 2 Samuel 13. Just the phrase, take the thing to his heart. Ever take it to heart? You say something, you want your kids to really get it? Take it to heart, what I'm telling you. Put it in your heart. Get out of our brain. Put it in your heart. Look at 2 Samuel 17. This is something more and more people in our little church are starting to have to do here pretty soon. Isn't that right, Jerry? You don't even know what it is yet. Careful. Verse 23 of 17. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order. So put your household in order, then I'm going to go hang yourself. You know? Isn't that how it is?
No, thank you.
Yeah. But before you do, make sure you got your bills, everything all set aside, get your house in order. Look at chapter 12, verse 7. This one reminds me of Drew Stewart, which, by the way, Drew Stewart is doing fair to partly cloudy, but he was laid off his work the other day, so now he's up. He's just struggling. And his kids are all at that dreaded age of 17, 16, 15 kind of a thing. He's got six of them in there. And he has no employment. And he went into major debt on the mission field. But chapter 12, verse 7. And Nathan said to David, you the man. That's what it is. Thou art the man. You the man. See, that's a phrase you hear nowadays. See, there's nothing out there that's not in this Bible. This Bible's full of stuff. You know, you're the man. Bill, you're the man. Yeah. You'll see here eventually. Go to 2 Samuel 12, or still there, down to verse 14. You know, talking about David and Bathsheba. Things that went on in David's life there that were wrong. And we tend to do this, not just in that realm, but anything that we do that people see, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. We've done things that people think, well, if that's your God, I'm not interested. We know we have testimonies like that here. Let's go to the same thing, verse 4. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. I repeated it, and I won't be able to find it. Oh, I can find this thing. I've got to find this thing. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 14. 2 Samuel chapter 14, verse 29. Something I hear from parents, and if you do, I don't know if you do it or not here, but it drives me batty. When a kid's doing something wrong and you start counting. One, two, and you have trained the kid to go to three. So one and two mean absolutely nothing to this kid. And when three comes along, I've honestly heard parents go, okay, four. You know, that's what happens. It's just bogus child training. If you do it, I don't know. If you do, stop it. Hit him on one. But look at here, verse 29. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Two. Therefore, he said unto his servants, see, Job's field is near mine, and he has barley there. Go burn it. Then Joab arose and came to Absalom into his house and said, what are you doing burning my field? There you are, three times. Finally got his attention the third time. Just one, two, three. It's one of those one, two, three things. Look at chapter 21. 21 verse 15. There's so much in here about David that we could do a series for weeks and weeks on David. By the way, I don't think David was a little boy when he took care of Goliath. A lot of people draw David as a little boy taking care of Goliath, but you read that thing close, he wasn't a little boy. He's young, but he wasn't a little boy. Look at 2 Samuel 21, 15. We're understanding this thing. David was what? It's the last two words. Wax and faint. Oh, this doesn't mean that he was doing his floor. He just wearing out. Let's go here. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. You know, David was big on numbers. We've got pastors today that are big on numbers. Not that you don't want people to hear what you're preaching and teaching, but numbers has become such a big deal that I do believe that it's destroyed another church that we are close to. And here's one. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1. Here's who's behind all this thing about numbers. 21, verse 1. Sorry, 21, verse 1. So the devil got David to do the numbering. Now I don't believe all these people are called. Well, I know that. According to the scriptures, gain and numbers isn't of God at all. Look at 1 Chronicles, still chapter 21. I hope it's the right verses. Verse 11. Here we go. You ever have to make a choice in your daytime, and it's not always a good one? Look at this one. So Gad came to David and said unto him, thus saith the Lord. Take your pick. Here's what God's telling you. This is stuff. Either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days of the sword, even the pestilence, in the land and the angel of the Lord destroyed throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now there's choices to be made there. Which one? How do you want to die here? You know, you want to go bankrupt? You want to have your kids die? You want to have your house burned down? What do you want? What a choice. Now therefore advise thyself what I shall bring again to him that sent me. And obviously David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I'm in a great strait. And let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. Whatever God chooses to do, so be it. But don't let man get a hold of me. So the Lord sent pestilence, made the choice for him. And there fell 70,000 men. I can hear one of those 70,000 guys going, what'd I do? My captain just told me to do this stuff, but that's the way it is. Okay, let's go here to 2 Samuel chapter 16. Go back to Samuel. 2 Samuel 16. We see some more application that's not to us, but it's something we can sure see taking place today. And that's somebody who said, God told me to tell you, verse 23, in the council of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. See that there? And I like that phrase, as if, which means he hadn't, but as if. He talks like he's a scholar. He talks like he knows his Bible. He talks like God has told him what to do. And so was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both of David and Absalom. Now go down to chapter 17, but go down to verse 17. We're in chapter 17 already. No, we're not. Yes, we are. Chapter 17, verse 7. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good. So here's a guy that appears as if he had been with God in his Bible, but the counsel he has given isn't doing well. Look at verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai, the Archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. Look at verse 23. And you saw that verse already. You've seen that verse already when Hithophel. I tell you, why can't they go with Frank and Bill and John? But oh well. And Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed. Saddled his ass, arose, got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hung himself. That's the way it is. And this guy gave the impression that he, as if he had seen God and got the oracles from God. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29. You see a lot of this today. There's a lot of guys that, as if this is what God would have them do, and they end up spiritually hanging themselves. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 28. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. He gave his time. I like that. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 23. 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 24. And here's that 20-year-old thing again pops into this little scene here. Remember the 20-year-olds and 24, 20-year-old people? Up until they're 20, they weren't held accountable. These were the sons of Levi after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of names by their polls, that did the work of the service for the service of the house of the Lord from the age of 20 years and upward. So up until they're 20, no. But when they're 20 and upwards, yes. They had a purpose. That's interesting stuff. And then lastly, this is so good, same chapter, verse 29. Talking about the offering, the work of the service of the house of God, etc. Both the shewbread, and for the fine flour for meat offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, and for that which is fried. All right. They had fry bread on the trip. Is that good, Jimmy? There it is. There it is. And for all manner of measure and size. In other words, big ones. Big fry bread donut thing. That's good. I like that. And then I stood every morning and praise the Lord. Thank you for this donut, Lord. Yeah. And let's get on to something halfway important. Oh, those are interesting things. It's in the Bible. It's just amazing stuff. I wouldn't push the baseball one a whole lot, but the rest of them are very applicable. Let's go to 2 Samuel 23. By the way, there's a cake in there's leftover cake in the kitchen there for you today if you want to eat that thing. Got it for ladies for their day yesterday, and see, if I'd have gotten the small one, it wouldn't have made it. That's the big one I got. Of course, I did help it a bit. 2 Samuel 23, here we go. Now, if you have read, which I think you probably have, all the things that take place with David, and I'm not sure you remember them because I've read them, and I didn't remember a lot of this stuff. But it's like trying to read, like I said, a mystery war novel that's full of details and full of action. And how do you do a book report? How many here enjoyed doing book reports when you were a kid? You did? Well, you're strange. I was crazy enough, I would pick a book to read, and I could not find any of those Regis notes or whatever that thing is called. The yellow book? What is that? What's that called? The yellow book that has the notes, Cliff Notes. Yeah, Cliff never read any books I wanted to read. Yeah. Yeah. So to do a summary, a book report of David's activities, I would say, get the book. There's just tons of stuff in there. But, so I wanted, what I wanted to show you here today is all the stuff that David did wrong. I mean, David did, see, he botched a lot of things. Seriously, a lot of things. He did some perverted things. But chapter 23, verse 1, he was still the psalm, the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was still close with God. Now look at 2 Samuel chapter 8. He says what? Well, that's his fault. That's his problem, not mine. I think the hardest thing about doing book reports is you had to read the book. That was, you know, the teacher could tell when you're reading the back cover thing, you know. Yeah, there we go. How do you read your Bible? Read the creation, read the Gospels, or read Revelation. And I would read Revelation first because I already know what's coming out in the end. I wouldn't worry about the rest. But anyway, 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6. Last sentence in that verse. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Look at verse 14. Last sentence. And the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 18. 1 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 6. You'll see that it's the same story as such, but I want you to see two more times, verse 6 and verse 13, that the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. And yet you know the things that David did. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 4. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Look at verse 25. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Look at verse 35. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, which, by the way, that's us in those days, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Look at chapter 23. First Chronicles chapter 3, verse 5. Some of you should have this verse marked, by the way, with a side note that says Amos. But well, anyway. Moreover, 4,000 were porters and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, and David to praise therewith. David had instruments to praise the Lord. So here's my point this morning. Here's David, who's done some major victories, but here's David, who's also done some horrible things in his life. And yet, we know that this is a physical kingdom. So even in a physical manner, here's this guy that's just tearing up his testimony in some ways, and God still preserved him. God still took care of him. And what did David do in response? He kept praising the Lord. And then he'd go off and do something horrible. And let's go here to back to 2 Samuel 23. What I just want you to see here this morning, and if you have not read these things, then you really don't understand what I'm saying this morning. And if you've read them a long time ago, you still don't understand what I'm saying in your heart. You'll understand in your brain because you know that we need to be praise the Lord and thank God and all that kind of stuff. But no, you need to read David's life stories in here, read all the things that he did, read all the horrible things that he did, knowing that his kingdom was a physical kingdom. And how he went against God at different places. And some of the things he did were just, they're rude and crude. And yet, God still was there for David. He said he preserved him, and David praised the Lord. So when you read some of the things that David wrote, knowing that David obviously knew what he had done, you all know yourself better than anybody else. And there are times that you think, oh, there's no way I could praise the Lord, and yet you know you can. But here we're looking at a guy who lived in the physical earth, who did physical things. He had God tell him he saw the Lord with the sword over the city, and he still did some of the dumb stuff that he did, and yet he admitted it. He said, Lord, I sinned, I'm wrong. And yet, if we can read his thanks, and we can read his praises, and his psalms that he wrote, he's a sweet psalmist, if we can read those things, and we understand, we think like David had done all these things, then your psalms reading and a couple of these things you're going to read here this morning, they just mean a whole lot more to you. You know what I'm saying? But if you haven't read the stuff about David, and you haven't seen all that he had done, and you hadn't seen all the stuff that he had disobeyed, and the conspiracy that he had going on against him, and all the people that hated him, even though he was good old David, and yet there were people that loved him, what a stressful life this guy must have had. So when you understand this person, you can read his stuff, and it's his stuff to God, it really means more to you. Because you know you. And I realize you folks here, you haven't done near anything wrong. You're real good, clean Christian people. You haven't thought anything or looked at things you know you shouldn't have had and shown stuff to your kids and bought stuff for your kids. The birds are okay, but anything else, we don't understand how David could be such a bad guy. And the Lord still, in a physical manner, preserved David, took care of him, and David thanked him for it. And you learn that reading from David. For example, Psalm 23. I'm in Psalm, sorry. 2 Samuel 23. And I even like this verse 2, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, just think, look at that. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Wouldn't you like to speak what the Spirit of God would have you speak? Well, come on, where are we at today? That's exactly what happens when you tell people something in this Bible. You are the Spirit of God is speaking through you when you show people this book and you read it to them. You want Danica and Zach and Caitlin and Amanda and Olivia, you want to have God speak to you, and you can't read very well yet enough to have that happen. God can speak to you through your mom and dad when they read this Bible to you. And this is why I want you kids to learn to read more than anything else, is that the Spirit of God can go to your little eyes and you can read and you can exactly hear exactly what God wants to tell you. And when men stick their nose in the middle between God and our children and teach them the Bible wrongly and falsely, that is dastardly. That's why we have to teach our children how to rightly divide this thing and how to read it. I could care less if they learn anything else anymore. I mean, obviously not my children, but that's a concern that I have. Because what I see going on with our children and other children, I'm telling you, you might as well put them back in public school. The conflict that you're creating for your children, to see and hear what goes on in the home, and for you to tell them this, they're better off over there. Except for one thing, teaching them how to read. They will not teach your children how to read like you need to. So that's why it's such a big deal to me. That's a free sermon on the side there. So that's what can take place in verse 2. And I mean right now, I can see in their eyes, God speaking to me means they have no clue, really. And they don't. But parents, you better have a clue what that means. You've got to know that that's how God is going to talk to your children, is through you and this book. And your visual testimony, from what I understand, is conflicting what this book is telling us to teach our children in our day-to-day lives. So don't be surprised in 10 years if they're not interested. Because most kids are not interested. And it's not God's fault. Okay, let's read that thing, verse 3. Gee, that sounded grumpy, didn't it? It is. I'm stirred over that stuff. Okay, here we go. Guess I didn't read how far I got to read this thing. The Spirit of the Lord spake to me. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning, when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. David was really trusting God. He just, this is what God told me, and I'm going to have to trust him with this thing. Go to chapter 22. Chapter 22. Now, chapter 22, verse 1, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. Now, those that have read this stuff, does it click when that took place? What was going on? What was Saul trying to do to David? What were the enemies? Who were his enemies? His own sometimes. His own people, his own family, his own staff, the whole thing became his enemies at times. So this is what he wrote. Isn't that amazing? I mean, really, how many years ago was this? More than a few. You know, and we can read what his thoughts are in his psalm to the Lord. This is also Psalm 18, just to give us some verification. It's not quite exactly word for word. Ah, see, so the King James Bible isn't the preserved, inspired word of God. Yes, it is. It's just the way it is. I don't have a problem with that. Pretty close, though. Well, maybe we should read Psalm 18. Just turn to Psalm 18 and read that instead. Oh, no, really? You're going to read all that? That's too long. That's America. That's too long to read. I'm interested in what David thought, but man, not that much. It'll take us all morning to read this thing. Maybe I should throw a few commercials in it. Maybe that'll help us get through this thing. Maybe I'll sell you a product that you're on verse 10. I will love thee. Now remember what happened. Saul, the whole thing. His enemies tried and God delivered him. You ever been delivered? Now listen, we've even been delivered physically a little bit, haven't we? I mean, really. It's a lot of that's because of the wisdom God has given us, but he's bailed us out a number of times here. Where were y'all headed if you died a day earlier than when you got saved? Where were you headed? Right, so we've been delivered. And maybe you didn't get saved and you thought you got saved. We talked about that Wednesday night. Maybe your trusting really is pretty recent. And maybe you finally got some joy and some confidence now because you actually trusted him. Aren't you glad you didn't die before you really got a grip on the proper salvation, if that would be the case? I mean, who knows? I still remember this car accident down there by 9 Mile a couple of years ago. This lady was coming back from some kind of a church conference or something in the Tri-Cities, and she was killed on that curb down there. And I don't know. How did that revival go? Was it a false one? Was it a modern Bible thing? Yes, it was. Modern music? Yes, it was. Did this lady make her profession that was a dud? Did she just believe in him? And I don't know. I have no clue. But because they were coming back from that kind of an activity, I've never forgotten that. I'm so glad that I didn't get... Can you think of how many times you should have been out of this picture by now? I mean, up there playing with fire. You know, really. So I don't know. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I hope this is from us. I hope somehow. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Now I look at that and I realize that we are in, in the days we're in. So where do you go to have this stuff? What also is your rock, your fortress, your deliverer, your strength? What are you trusting in? What's your buckler? What's the horn of your salvation? What's your high tower? This Bible. This is the difference between us and almost everybody else out there. They'll claim that stuff and they'll say that there's God, that he's that way to me. Yes, but how is he that way to you? Right here. I will call upon the Lord. I will read my book. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Came before. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. You ever done that? I know I told you this before, I won't tell you about him again, but I've been on the floor flat out just crying, what's coming? And you know, I think about this, you know how he answered that prayer? Those prayers, I should put, it's happened three times. He got me into this more. I mean, I got jobs and da-da-da-da, my health has been, what it's been. And yet he got me into this thing. So the prayer's been answered. So that's what he does. 7, and the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightest that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. It prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. Now what do we say there? Because how does he delight in us? How do we have clean hands? Because of Jesus Christ has taken care of all that. It isn't because we're that way. But we know today that that's how the Lord still looks at us. It's because of his Son. Marvelous stuff in here. 21, for I have kept the ways of the Lord, have you? See? But he's kept them for us. It's his record we have. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. Wait a minute. Look at all the things David did. His hands were clean. With a merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God, save the Lord? Or who is a rock, save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. What's our shield today? Faith. And thy right hand hath holden me up. What's the right hand today? Jesus Christ, sitting in the right hand of God the Father. and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. This is all the Bible to us today. We're reading, here's what the Bible can be for us, which is the Lord, but it's still, this is where we go. What David is talking about and how David is going to God, this is how we need to go to our book. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. And there's to his seed forevermore. So, what can we get out of David? We can get out of the fact that it ought to help us understand our Bibles better, and how to get into these Bibles better, just by learning from David, how he did what he did with God. He's just marvelous, just a marvelous man to learn from. And yet he sure was crummy. But yet he was great. But boy, did the Lord deliver him. And it should help us, should help you and me as well as anybody else, that if you start to understand, as we learn more about what Paul preaches and teaches, it's actually helping us understand the Old Testament. And then when you read the book of Psalms and you see what he said about my righteousness and stuff, we know what he's talking about today. My righteousness is his. And then we just learn how to deal with God. And it's a hard thing. Parents, what do? When you got teenagers and young people, whatever, that haven't read all this other stuff because it's not interesting or whatever, and they don't see the big picture. We started out by going back and looking at the big picture, and as we do this, God is zooming us in. You see that? God is zooming us in more and more and more. We're going to understand the finite details that are in there, and the folks are trying to do it backwards. And they get bored of the details because they don't understand them, and they miss the whole big picture. So when you read a whole psalm like that, you're bored to death. And there is marvelous stuff in that psalm that we read today. And it can even happen to us as adults. It's a serious matter, just like David. Anyway, there's your stuff for today.